Election day is here, and Peoria area election officials say there is plenty voters should know as they head to the polls.
Even 40,000 people, we expect to have some wait times. I don't expect massive lines, but, you know, you never know. It depends when the voters show up.
That's Tom Bride, Executive Director of the Peoria County Election Commission. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from State Farm agent Aaron Kilgore. A Peoria native and active community member, Aaron can help customers with auto, home, and life insurance needs. Information at aaronismyagent.com.
Today is Tuesday, November 3rd, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. Central Illinois bars and restaurants have only a couple days to adapt to a new ban on indoor service. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced the restrictions as COVID-19 cases surge in the region. WCBU student reporter Olivia Streeter breaks down their reactions.
Chad Zeich owns the Hungry Moose. He says he'll make the best of the situation.
Minimum will be open for curbside as long as the curbside is enough to carry the cost of operation. So if it's not, then we'll close the restaurant down 100% until things are lifted.
Zeich says he's puzzled by the new restrictions since contact tracing efforts generally shows cases aren't stemming from restaurants. Emily Cotton, co-owner of Sids in the Park, says this week's unseasonably warm weather will help with outdoor dining, but she's worried about business in the colder months ahead.
It's a huge hit to the restaurant industry in our community, of course.
Banu Hatfield, co-owner of Zion Coffee, says while she's disappointed about the new restrictions, she'll adapt as best she can.
We recognize we're in the middle of a pandemic. Our heart is always to put people first ahead of anything else, and we will do what we need to do to get through this next phase.
Every region of the state will soon be under the new indoor bar and restaurant restrictions, triggered by three consecutive days of COVID positivity rates above 8%. A region must go 2 weeks at 6.5% or lower to see those restrictions lifted again. For more information, visit WCBU.org. I'm Olivia Streeter.
Here are some of the stories on deck in the WCBU newsroom. The WCBU team will bring you full local and state election results on air tonight. Tune in to 89.9 FM or stream online at WCBU.org for our team coverage. More than 9,000 residents of Peoria, Tazewell, and Woodford counties have now suffered confirmed COVID-19 cases. A Peoria County man in his 80s who did not live in a long-term care facility died over the weekend, bringing the area's death toll to 149. And the East Peoria City Council is scheduled to hold its regular meeting this evening. This comes after Mayor John Call announced on social media over the weekend the city will not enforce Governor J.B. Pritzker's COVID-19 restrictions. Find more on these stories and others at WCBU.org. Peoria area election officials believe record vote-by-mail and early voting participation may translate to fewer people filling out ballots in person today. But for those who are heading to the polls, there's plenty they should know beyond the candidates' positions. Joe Deacon reports.
Peoria County Election Commission Executive Director Tom Bride and Tazewell County Clerk John Ackerman have been working to address a variety of Election Day issues, ranging from polling place electioneering and voter intimidation to ballot tabulation to COVID-19 related health and safety precautions. Ackerman says voters are encouraged to wear face coverings, but the clerk's office cannot make that a requirement. He says polling places will also do the best they can to practice social distancing.
We're lucky that the weather right now is calling for a crystal clear day, so I think we'll have the ability to have, if needed, some lines outside.
Bride says they too are encouraging voters to wear face coverings and will have masks available for people who forget to bring one. Election judges will be wearing masks and floors will be marked to keep adequate distance between voters. Keeping the ballot boxes and other surfaces clean will also be a priority.
We'll have hand sanitizer when you come in and when you go to leave. We'll do some frequent cleaning, but we're also going to provide the voters themselves with a little finger cot, which allows them to vote on the equipment. And they don't need a full glove because you really only need a finger. And then they'll also have some personalized little cleaning supplies. So if they want to clean it right before they vote on it, that they can do that too.
Bride says poll workers will be ready to act if anyone attempts to threaten or provoke voters or wears campaign attire.
We've given some instructions to the election judges on what to do if they have some concerns.
in the polling place to how to handle those situations. We're trying to remind the public that you can show your support for a candidate, but you can't actually wear any clothing or hats or anything with the candidate's name or the logos on it in the polling place.
Bride says that although they can never have too many election judges, he's cautiously optimistic they have plenty of staff for today's needs. Ackerman says last year's redistricting plan combined with strong recruitment produced excellent results.
I'm actually looking at the highest level in this election of election judge participation that we've had in well over a decade.
Another question facing Bride and Ackerman is how quickly they will be able to get the votes counted. Ackerman says the large amount of advance participation will help accelerate the process.
Early vote and vote by mail are being calculated as those votes are cast here in our office. So we'll have their totals prepared. We just need to take them down and put them into our tabulator and get the final result.
Bride says he doesn't anticipate his office facing any delays in getting started with the count once the last voters have finished their ballots.
As soon as they can get closed and you know, anybody in line at 7 o'clock gets to vote. So sometimes it goes past 7 a little bit. Then it's just a matter of the judges getting everything packed up, making sure everything works, counting correctly. At least like the numbers match, and then they've got to bring it back and we've got to get them into the building and get it transitioned. Typically that we'll start to put up polling place results within an hour.
Asked if he expects a higher turnout this year than in recent elections, Ackerman says he does, but maybe not today.
I think when we look at this election overall, we're going to see a much higher voter participation. We've had a lot of first-time voters coming in. We've had a lot of individuals that are engaged with the candidates. They want to have their voice heard. The no to that question is I don't think we'll see that high turnout on Election Day.
Likewise, Bride anticipates in-person voting will be down from usual figures.
We've traditionally had in the midst, you know, 50 to 55,000 people on Election Day. I think that number is going to be a lot closer to 40,000 on Election Day, even with an historic turnout just because of the number of votes that have been cast early.
For the complete story and more on Election Day, visit WCBU.org. And here's one quick final reminder. NPR special coverage begins tonight at 6 p.m. with election results from around the country. The WCBU news team will have local results, including the 91st and 92nd State House districts, the 46th State Senate district, and the 17th Congressional district. Listen in at 89.9 FM and WCBU.org. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from State Farm agent Aaron Kilgore. A Peoria native and active community member, Aaron can help customers with auto, home, and life insurance needs. Information at aaronismyagent.com.